The reading from Isaiah is a text chosen for this third midweek Advent service. And I will read it in parts as we go. But these are the words of our Lord given to the prophet Isaiah for our hearing, as it was for the people of Israel, for their redemption and ours. Let us pray. You speak, O Lord, and we hear. You speak and we receive faith to believe. You speak and it is so, and we receive all that we need for this life and the next. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, when Adam and Eve decided they'd live by rules of their own, it wasn't enough. No, not enough that they blushed and scampered behind a tree to sew together some leafy underwear. It wasn't enough that they were interrogated and rebuked by the divine judge. It was not enough that they heard the gut-wrenching curses pronounced upon their future crop raising and childbearing. Not even was it enough that at that hour, they started down the slippery slope that would finally land them 6 feet under. Dead and buried, from dust Adam was taken, and unto dust he will return. More was coming. As a final and yes, necessary action, their landlord kicked them out. And at the front door of their former garden paradise was stationed a Secret Service agent, the angelic kind. A sword burning with heavenly fire was in his hand, barricading the way to the tree of life. And so it was that they became homeless criminals on the run. Our not so great, many great grandparents. No, not so great. But of course, the apple doesn't fall very far from the tree. Doesn't it? Especially the tree that gives the knowledge of good and evil. Like mother, like daughter, like father, like son, yes, like Adam, like me. In Adam, we are part, yes, his children, created to have passed down all those wonderful traits of paradise. That's what it was designed for. But instead, we get and give to our children all those horrors of desperately wicked, sinful hearts. One huge rebellious mankind. We're all together in this. Yes, and it's the man's fault. We are the ones who pass along the original sin gene. Yes, to Adam's sons and daughters. And to our sons and daughters, yes, procreating fear while we run scared with them. All of us fearing the voice of him who used to walk in the cool of the day. Very afraid in that guilt that requires our death. We all have fled that voice, the one who still wants to meet with us. That's why that half of the church has no one in it. The one who calls, still, where are you? But that same one still sought us, even though we ran, even as we hid, as we tried to cover up, lie and cheat and steal something that used to be given without thought. Because perfect trust, which now turned to fear and loathing, fear and mistrust, never doubted him who made all things for us. And so we who are also not so great have been hightailing it ever since, climbing up our mountains of pride, clawing through thickets of lies, barreling down into valleys of depravity, stampeding over anyone who dares to get in our way. We've come a long way. All right. A long way from home. So here we are, no longer creatures of Eden, but now things of the desert, a place where the snakes and the scorpions and jackals and vultures live. Say what you like about some peculiar and mysterious beauty there in the desert. The truth is, most agree it doesn't have much going for it, especially if your canteen happens to be bone dry. There is a reason people call such places a God-forsaken wilderness. Fiery sands and vegetation bristling with thorns certainly do give the appearance that God has forsaken such haunts. In such a world, we Adams and Eves are born and live. Or at least we exist, as no, it's not living like it used to be. In the garden, walking with Him, trusting and living and loving Him. No, now it's subsisting rather than existing. Substandard lives by substandard means. Yeah, not so great. But go ahead, irrigate this desert, air condition it, pretty it up with your heart's content. All in truth, though, it's futile. Yep, we will practice and refine this kind of self-deception. We act like the sand of prosperity or fame is the fertile soil of that paradise lost. We convince ourselves that chewing on cacti is just as good as the lost fruit from the tree of life that once was, in fact, to die for. So we ruminate on our trophies, our sweet acts of revenge, and all those forbidden fruit we have enjoyed. But it's all lies. And they are getting under our dried out skin, under, together with the biting fleas. Our hands are weak from scratching and clawing out an existence in this world. Weak and dirty we are, and well, from digging our own graves in that desert wasteland. Our knees are feeble from kneeling before the gods of money and pleasure and power, feeble from trying to uphold the weight of the law, the tonnage of guilt that is strapped atop our backs. Our hearts are anxious about everything, from what to wear to where to retire, from the finding work to work that never ends. But that's the way life is, if you want to call it life. In the desert, far, far east of Eden. But did you hear? Did you hear him? There is a preacher out there, a man of the wilderness, the Reverend John the Baptist. Into this desert world he is sent with the scroll of Isaiah in his hand and upon his lips. And his message is that we will leave this God-forsaken land permanently, changed. Because his message, the message, is that God has not forsaken us. Quite the opposite. John preaches a desert Emmanuel, God with us. Yes, even especially in this world, this land parched and thirsty, he came, he was there, and he is here. Yes, so that even this, the wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert rejoice and blossom like the crocus. Isaiah 35:1. For John proclaimed a change that is coming, and indeed has already come, a resurrection change, a from death to life change. It is coming. He is coming all the way from Eden. The one who ousted Adam and Eve has come. The landlord has come to bring you home to Eden. And heaven trails after him. His advent into this desert world signals the reversal of all the dying death, all the parched and dead souls, all the world buried with dry bones. For everywhere he goes, there springs forth life. The eyes of the blind are open. The ears of the deaf are unstopped. The lame man leaps like a deer. The tongue of the mute sings for joy. Yes, the dry bones have flesh and blood, sinew and joint upon them once again. Yes, the breath is in them. God breathed and they became living souls. Yes, the breath to breathe in new lungs again. It is for you that he came. He has sought you out. He has tracked you down, not to indict you nor to berate you, but to save you. That's why he's come, to make alive that which is dead, sin dead, you and I. Yes, he's here. He is here to strengthen your weak hands, make firm your feeble knees, and to say to your anxious heart, be strong, fear not, I have come to lead you home, to take you back to Eden. Don't you see? Waters break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert when Jesus is born. All is reversed. He who turns water into wine, sickness into health, death into life, comes to change you, even this night. In a desert world, there is only one place where there is life, where there is water. And the waters that break forth upon his arrival are a fountain of life. No mirages there or here. He takes you in his hands and carries you into that fountain to soak up the life that is his own there in the water. This water, where it does come from, where does it come from? It comes from him, from his spear-pierced side. It is a flowing river that streams through the wound suffered, yes, from you and I. The Israelites quenched their thirst from the rock struck by Moses. And that rock was Christ. St. Paul says that. The same rock is a body struck by the weapon of war and has been gushing forth with peace and life from him who was dead but now lives. This ever since he came. And in him, in his water, in his river, you live. A highway is in this wilderness, this desert world too, made by him, the way of holiness. It is a way of the church, a path constructed from the raw materials of his own flesh and blood. And you, the one redeemed by God, the baptized, you are traveling on it all the way back to Eden. Yes, there is only one way back to paradise, only one pathway that leads to life. It is he who is the way, the truth, and the life, the only road back to Eden. The Israelites wandered 40 years in the desert, leaving behind corpse after corpse, littering the desert sands with dried up bodies and souls. But the way of holiness is not like that. No, it is not a way of death, but life. In this church, in this Christ, on this highway, don't you know that you have already passed from death to life? You have been baptized into Jesus. You have streamed into his death and then washed back out of the grave into newness of life. So now we journey, citizens of Eden once more. Yes, there, but not there yet. Yes, but already tasting the fruit of the tree of life as we dine on our Lord's body and blood. Yet also having to wait for the day when we, in our resurrected flesh, will see him face to face in the garden above. And seeing him, we long lost Adams and Eves will once again be meeting with him each day, all day, and that forever. To bask once again in that goodness that is his love. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.